and fighting and all that stuff, and that just kind of goes hand in hand with what I'm feeling tonight. I want you to know that when the Lord gave me this word, I'm not a morning person. So when I get up in the morning, don't get me wrong, I didn't say I'm not thankful. I'm thankful. But when I get up, I'm like, "Ooh, Jesus." So I have to just, my devotions, when I spend time with the Lord, it takes me about 20, 25 minutes before I really start talking. And I was just listening a couple of weeks ago. It's good to just listen to the Lord, amen? And as I was listening, the Lord, I was just seeking God, saying, "God, what is it that you would have me to say to this generation?" And the Lord spoke very clearly to him. I'm going to read a passage to you. And in that passage, I felt like the Lord told me that restoration was going to be in the house tonight. I want you to grab a hold of this, because I'm here to tell you that if you have lost something, you're going to get it back tonight. Now, I'm glad I got about 20 of y'all that feel that, but for the rest of you all that going to play games with it, then I'm just going to preach to the 20 of you, and the rest of you just eavesdrop. But can I just tell you, somebody's going to get their stuff back tonight. Hallelujah. I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do. Restoration is in the house. And I want you to know that God can restore and revive everything that you are connected to. All right, I just need to go ahead and just get on in this, because y'all looking at me like, "Well, don't play games with it." I'm not. Let's go ahead and do it. Let's jump into the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I give honor to all of you incredible young people, young adults, men and women, God, all throughout the sanctuary. It is just good to gather with the people of God. I'm so thankful and honored to be a part of this terrific conference. The Lord saw fit, for whatever reason, whoever had a hand in my being here, I give honor to you. I'm just humbled to be a part. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, and I'm glad to have my man with me. He probably can't hear. My man Lincoln over here on the front row. This is my son. He's turning 10. Watch out. He's stomping with the big dogs. He's turning 10 in a couple of weeks, and so I'm thankful he traveled with Dad. And my wife, Sarah, we just got finished celebrating 16 years of marriage. And my little girl, Mia, I say little. She'll always be Daddy's little girl. She'll be 12 coming up, but she and Mommy are enjoying a mother-daughter weekend, and they just send their blessings. And so God bless you. Let's just go ahead and jump on into the Word. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. "Now it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked and burned it with fire." I'll get it together. "And had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive." Can you imagine the scene? "Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened or encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, 'Please bring the ephod here to me.' And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?' And he answered him, 'Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.'" Honey, you need to let that get in your spirit. Without fail, you are going to recover all. You know what's in my spirit right now? I want to preach this thought. Give me my stuff back. I don't know if you've ever had somebody take something from you that you know is yours, and you just had enough of it. You're ready to get your stuff back. Is anybody ready to get back what belongs to them? Honey, I want you to lift your hands to heaven. I want you to lift your head and open up your heart, open up your heart, open up your mouth, and lift your faith and begin to declare, God, I want it all back. I want it all back right here and right now in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, if you're ready for it, clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. God bless you all. I did not grow up in church. And the people I was connected to, I was kind of raised by a Southern Mississippi belle. She was about 75, 76. I had come in my late teens. And it was an odd couple relationship, without a doubt. The only thing that connected us, frankly, was Jesus Christ. And that's all right. You need to learn how to appreciate young people, young adults. You need to learn how to appreciate and love elders in your life. As a matter of fact, if you don't have some elders in your life, you need to get some elders in your life. And so this church mother was really kind. She just loved me. One of those church mothers that just cooked all the time and just, you know, this is just kind of how I was raised, spiritually speaking. It just, that fellowship, she would just be cooking and eating. And I'm talking about like mashed potatoes and gravy and, you know, fried steak. And I'm talking about in that iron cast skillet. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That macaroni and cheese and those biscuits that, okay, praise God. I got a few people that know how to eat. She would just cook, Bishop, and, you know, we would eat, and she would fall asleep in the lazy boy. After she just done, she'd just be talking about the goodness of the Lord, and just, woo, honey, just, woo. Next thing I know, I look, and Boo is knocked out. Boo would wake up 20, 30 minutes later, right back in the same sentence that she was in. But it was such a blessing, and she encouraged me. She encouraged me and reminded me and, frankly, told me to never, ever lose my gratitude unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord declares that we should give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Now, I am not going to say or suggest that you can't be thankful if you are a new babe in Christ, but there's some things that you just got to kind of walk it out. You got to live it out. And if you've been walking with Jesus Christ for any significant amount of time, I'm not minimizing it if you're new in your faith. As a matter of fact, I rejoice in what God is doing in your life, and you indeed have something to be grateful for. But when you've just had a bit of time, maybe 5, 7, 10, 15 years, and you can look back over your life in hindsight, you can quickly deduce that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Is there anybody that knows what I'm talking about? Is there anybody that's grateful tonight? She taught me. She said, honey, whatever you do, don't lose your thank you. See, we can lose a lot of things, Bishop, but we better never lose our thank you. You can lose your boyfriend, honey, and you can lose your girlfriend. You can lose your job, and you can lose a whole lot of things. You can lose your car, but you better never, ever lose your thank you. You better never, ever forget, honey, where the Lord brought you from. Don't you ever get too cute and too dignified and too sophisticated where you're not quick to clap your hands and, come on, somebody help me tonight, where you're too quick to open up your mouth and declare, he's been good to me. Don't you ever get too good where you won't shout a little bit and magnify your God. Is there anybody that's thankful tonight? Don't you ever get to a place where you become what I call plasticostal. Because, you know, back in the day when it first started, you were born in the fires of Pentecost. But after you've been walking with them for a while, and that past, if you became a distant memory, and when you would tell people about your testimony, they'd be shocked and couldn't get their mind around, I cannot believe that was you. You become so disconnected from what God has done in your life, you want to sit and be cute. I don't know about you, but I don't have any time to come and be cute, because he didn't find me in a cute mess, honey. As a matter of fact, he found somebody that was broken and somebody that was disgusted and somebody that was dropping out of high school and somebody that's mind was tore up and didn't know which way to go and somebody who was thinking about killing himself. But then I had a God who was rich in mercy, reached down and picked me up and said, not tonight, honey. I'm calling you. Is there anybody that's grateful? You better put a praise on it then, honey. If you're grateful, you better let him know. If you're grateful, you ought to clap your... Y'all not talking back to me tonight. I need about 20 people that'll give God a praise, that'll just say thank you. I don't need music. I don't need an organ. I don't need a cheerleader. All I have to do is to think. Think of the goodness of Jesus. The good. Whoo. Whoo. Y'all gonna help me out. That's all right. You know what? I feel a little resistance. So I'm gonna just stay here on gratitude for a minute. Because it's amazing how gratitude affects your thinking. It's amazing how gratitude affects your posture. It's amazing how gratitude affects your worship. It's amazing. Think about it for a moment. All you have to do is when you begin to think on what God has done in your life, you need to realize you're not. See, this is the problem with today. I love y'all. I do. I love y'all. But back in the day, this is what they told me, because I wasn't raised in this. But see, we've become so professional. We've become so self-sustaining and so innovative and engineering on our own. We've constructed something that we actually believe in. Some of us have more confidence in our own abilities than we do the hand of Almighty God. You actually think your degree got you that job. You actually think, y'all not gonna talk back to me. You actually think your creativity and innovation is something you came up with on your own, honey. The devil is a liar. You better understand that God gave that to you. He gave you that aptitude. He gave you that ability. He gave you that creativity. He's the one who made a way. He brought those relationships into your life. You better understand, honey, it is God and God alone. You can't do it. You'll never be able to do it. But we serve a God who is able. And he deserves the praise. He deserves the adoration. He deserves the glory. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Yeah. I don't have anybody that's grateful. Do I got anybody that just remembers what God pulled you out of? Does anybody remember the sin and remembers the smell of drugs? Do you remember the taste of that alcohol stupor that you were in? Does anybody remember? God. God did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. But see, you know what? Back in the day, Bishop, back in the day, we would give God all the credit. But now, we have church growth. They say, well, Pastor, what we got to do? Well, you know, if you read 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, and if you read 7 Checkpoints, and don't misunderstand me. I'm all about leadership. Don't get me wrong. But can I tell you, 21 Irrefutable Laws and 7 Checkpoints of Leadership, that ain't saving anybody, honey. Can I just tell you, you know what? What God wants to do is so beyond our mind. I wish we would get back to a day where people would look and say, how did the youth group blow up? And how did you end up teaching those Bible studies? And how did the church grow? Can we just say God did it? How did those miracles happen? And I don't know. Where did that cancer go? And where did that fever go? And where did that broken, dysfunctional family go? I'm trying to tell you, honey, 7 steps or 12 steps didn't do it. God did it. God did it. And he'll do it tonight Is there anybody that's grateful? Is there anybody that knows what I'm talking about? Woo! If you know that, you know that, you know that, you know that, you know, you ought to clap your hands. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, I'm telling you, he's able. He's able. Somebody, go ahead and magnify him with your whole heart. Somebody, go ahead and break through in that praise and in that worship. Somebody, come on back. Go ahead and praise him like you used to praise him, because you used to not worry about everybody else. But now you're too cute and too dignified, and you want to worry about your boyfriend or your girlfriend. The devil is a liar. I'll praise him with my whole heart. I'll shout right in the devil's face. I'm going to stay right here for just another minute, and God's fixing to do something. I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost, you better never underestimate that praise is your weapon. That's why, you know what? When we come, you don't have to worry about, oh, you know what? I'm not minimizing the cheerleading, and the worship team did a great job, but they should never have to say, come on, y'all, let's praise them. Let's lift them up. Who are you talking to? Come on, y'all know he's been good. When you think of the goodness of Jesus, the devil is alive. The moment you step foot out the car and put your foot on the ground, you come into the house of the Lord and say, honey, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go, let us go, let us go, let us go, let us go into the house of the Lord. I will praise him. I will open up my mouth and shout unto him. I will wave my hands. I will dance. I will bless him. Why? Because he is worthy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. And don't ever, ever underestimate what a praise will do in somebody's life. A praise will pull you out of some situations. Praise will pull you out of some situations. See, that's what you need. Just pull on your neighbor a little bit. Pull on your neighbor a little bit. Because you're about to pull it. Y'all ain't pulling nobody. Pull on your neighbor a little bit. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why, honey. You remember when you were in that mess? The psalmist called it miry clay. Quicksand. The more you tried, guess what? It sucked you down in. But then you had a God who reached down and picked you up and put your feet on solid ground. Honey, you know what? You remember the story of Joseph, right? He found himself in a pit. But there was one brother who said, we can't leave him there. You know who that brother was? Judah. You know what Judah means? Somebody said praise. I'm done. Because praise will pull you out, honey. Praise will pull you out. Your hallelujah will pull them out. Your thank you, Jesus, will pull you out. Your glory will pull them out. Your worthy will pull them. Pull them. It'll pull, it'll pull. Somebody pull them with your praise. You don't understand what you're doing right now. I'm telling you, you're pulling, you're pulling. You're pulling on your miracle. You're pulling on your right now. You're pulling on. Somebody better get to pulling. Somebody better get to pulling. Because an unrehearsed praise is a real praise. An unrehearsed praise will pull you out of some mess. Okay. Woo. Help us, God. Help us. Help us. Yeah, you know what? That's the glory of the Lord. That's the glory of the Lord. That's the glory of the Lord. And let me just say this. I get so tired of people saying, well, I don't feel anything. Yeah. You don't need to feel a single solitary thing. But let me tell you what. I'm going to give you all one more opportunity. You don't want to miss this. I'm going to get into it. But I'm telling you, we're setting the atmosphere. You see this bottle of water? If I want the contents to move, what do I got to do? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Some of you got it. You want a move of God, honey? You better get to shaking. You better get to waving those hands. You better get to stomping those feet. Some of you need to get to running. Some of you better say, you better get out my way. Now is not the time, honey. I ain't playing no games. I remember where I was. I'm too thankful to sit down. I'm too grateful to shut up. I gotta praise him right here and right now. Come on and do it. Stir up those contents. That's what I need. I need about 50 young people that'll just praise him right now. Praise him in advance, because you're going to get it back. You're going to get your stuff back. Praise him in advance. That's what we need. We need some young people that will push the envelope. I know I said I was going to stop here, but let me just tell you what I feel like is fixing to happen. What you need to understand is this isn't hype. I get it. It's easy for us to come together and praise the Lord when we're together. But what God wants to give you is something that will transform your life when you're at home all by yourself. Well, you'll have a praise party, honey, when you're cleaning the dishes. You'll have a praise party while you're cooking spaghetti. You'll have a praise party while you're studying literature. You'll have a praise party, honey, while you're working on your biology and your chemistry. You'll have a praise party at the middle of the night, all because you're going to praise him according to, give me some more monitor, according to his excellent greatness. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. One more time, shout hallelujah. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Okay. Be seated for a minute. I need you to stay with me, though. I'm not going to be long. We have got to understand the importance of time and purpose. We've got to understand, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're all familiar with it. He says, to everything there is a season. To everything there is a purpose. There's a time under heaven. We see that. He's establishing the connection between time and purpose. See, time and purpose go together like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. For my old heads, they go together like Scottie Pippen and MJ, which, by the way, would kill Klay Thompson, who is my cousin. I'm just kidding. Would kill Thompson and Curry. Anyway, time and purpose go together like pancakes and bacon, peanut butter and jelly, and I'm talking about gravy and mashed potatoes. I'm talking about time and purpose go together like Kool-Aid and sugar. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? David, he taught us this in the 90th Psalm, in what they proclaim to be the Psalm of Moses. He says, teach us to number our days, that we may have a heart of wisdom. In short, what he was saying is, God, I want to know my time and my purpose. And what I don't want to happen is I don't want to run out of time before I run out of purpose. Because God help us if we run out of time before we run out of purpose. That's why I don't have time to come and play games with anybody. We have allowed ourselves, we have allowed the world, if you will, to push us into a corner and to dictate dictate the terms when the Bible is emphatically clear. He says, Paul said that we are more than conquerors. In other words, there's no delay. There's no prolonging your victory. Your victory is already established. You don't have to wait on it, honey. You have to walk in it. You have to get in alignment with it. You have to submit to it. And once you do, your conquest will be established. Time, time, time. We don't want to run out of time. The Jews were, not only were they an elect, select group of people, but they understood that time was linear. When most Eastern religions taught that time would repeat itself in a circle, Taoism or Buddhism, that is inaccurate. We understand that there is a beginning and an ending. They understood this, and so they're saying, understand your time and understand your purpose. We cannot afford to have young people, young adults, or let me just be a little bit more general and say the church as a whole, when we don't understand our purpose. Purpose changes everything. Purpose is an incredibly powerful, potent thing. Once you understand your purpose, it changes the way you think. It changes the way you operate. Once you understand your purpose, you don't hang with certain people. Once you understand your purpose, you don't entertain certain things. And once you understand your purpose, you don't go certain places. Is anybody hearing me right now? Once you understand your purpose, you don't listen to certain things. You don't listen to certain things. Once you understand your purpose, you don't have time to fool with nonsense. You understand your purpose, you're not worried about comparing yourself to other people. When you understand your purpose, you're not worried about what the youth group is doing down the street. Once you understand your purpose, you ain't hating on anybody. Or you ain't worried about your haters. And let me just say this. The reality of it is, your haters ain't even thinking about you. We live in a self-absorbed world. You better get over yourself, honey, and be about the Father's business. Ain't nobody hating on you. Talking about on Facebook, haters gonna hate. Haters gonna hate. Nobody worried about you. You better go ahead and be about your business, be about his business, loving God, serving God, being kind, overcoming evil with good. You better be lifting up the name of Jesus. Why? Because you understand your purpose. Somebody shout back to me, purpose. Purpose changes everything. Purpose changes everything. See? Bible says that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So I just need people. This is why you got to have elders in your life. Because when you have elders in your life that love you, they'll tell you what you don't want to hear. By the way, you got to have somebody in your life that's going to tell you what you don't want to hear. Bishop, at any point in time, if I'm ever pursuing something that is outside of my purpose, please love me enough to tell me. Because I don't have any time to be wasting and pursuing things that don't belong to me. Somebody hearing me? Some of us are pursuing things that don't belong to us. That's why you can't become so enamored and consumed with the things of the world, because you're pursuing things that don't belong to a child of God. But you ought to be pursuing joy and peace with all men and pursuing holiness and pursuing things that are true and praiseworthy and are lovely and of a good report. These are the things that we ought to pursue. Can somebody say amen? Amen. This is why, you know what, we talk about it. Hear me. We need to understand. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. And this thing is not a game. This is why we need to understand, too, when you're on pursuit and you look at the life of David. Let me just say this about David. David was in an interesting place because can you imagine David, who had slain his tens of thousands, and then Saul, who had only slain his thousands? Saul was not happy. He was chasing this man like he was a dog. But yet they shared so many things in common, Bishop. I mean, it was fascinating, the relationship and the intricacies of their relationship. How could Saul do a 180 and just flip on my man David like this? David found himself in a cave, the cave of Adullam. And he found himself, I mean, you got to understand and just think about this. Think, have you ever been, let me just say this. Have you ever felt like you've been overlooked? I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Talking about, you know, man, I don't have the fourth generation Pentecost, and I'm just getting in this thing. Nobody knows where I'm at, and nobody understands. I'm not good enough. I don't have that heritage and lineage. I've got a dysfunctional family, and man, if people knew what I had to deal with, there's somebody in this house that feels like you're not good enough. Can I tell you, that's exactly where David was. I want you to understand, David was so overlooked that when the prophet showed up, his father, it was like an afterthought. The prophet went through and was like, this ain't the one. And he was like, well, do you have any more boys? And the man of God was like, oh my, I do have one more son. Can you imagine? Now, you have to understand, it wasn't just his father, it was his brothers. It was the community, because the community, when the prophet showed up, they were like, oh, it's about to go down. Because they said, are you coming peaceably? And they were like, oh, he's like, I'm coming to worship. They're like, oh, okay, it's going to be a praise party. Let's go. And so everybody's here at the house checking this thing out, and nobody thought of David. He had been maligned and ostracized. Nobody was even contemplating or musing, maybe David. So David has this meteoric rise to popularity. And then everybody is singing his praises. You got to imagine, at some point, that probably went to his head, like, finally. But then to go from that to being hunted by Saul. You go from being in the king's temple or palace, if you will, to drooling in your beard and acting like you crazy just to survive. It's amazing what you do when you're trying to survive. You'll do things that are out of character. Do things that will utterly humiliate yourself in front of people. Do things where you look unrecognizable. And so here's where David finds himself. He finds himself in a cave with 400 people. And guess who showed up? His brothers and his dad. Now, I doubt they were like, oh, David, you can do it, man. You can do it. I like to think they were there to put David on blast. Because every other time they put him on blast, every other time when David showed up, it's like, hey, I got a little something to eat. Oh, what's up with this Philistine? Y'all letting this Philistine talk all this smack? They're like, man, you're just trying to make a name for yourself. And he's like, well, we all see what's happening. Somebody got to do something. By the way, that's the difference between a leader and somebody that's not a leader. Everybody can see what needs to be done, but a leader just does it. They all saw the same need. So check this out. He's got these 400 guys. And you know what? The Bible says they were disquieted. They were disgruntled. They had absolutely nothing. Nobody wanted anything to do with these men. In other words, it was like, this is a ragtag group of misfits, a bunch of wannabes, a bunch of fakers. Lead these men. And David had only those men. If you study the psalms that he composed while he was in the cave of Adullam, and in particular the 57th psalm, it will astonish you, because you'll realize at some point he changes his focus off of himself unto the Lord. And once he reconnects, hear me, once he reconnects to his purpose, he begins to reach the 400 men. And these 400 men who had absolutely nothing, he raises them and trains them up into a powerful army. So much so that these men are so stealth-like, so covert ops, that they are right there on top of King Saul and his men, and they don't even know it. Not only that, I mean, these brothers were bad. Can you see these guys crawling around in caves with blades in their mouth, talking like, David, we got them right. And King Saul is clueless. These boys were bad. He took these 400 men and raised them up to 600. So now he understands his ministry, his purpose. See, what you need to understand is you need to get over yourself, because it's not about you. Amen. The moment you get the attention on, and this is a challenge for us because we live in such a self-absorbed, self-consumed world. Facebook is all about us. Twitter, it's all about us. Instagram, it's all about us. Snapchat, it's all about us. I could go on and on. It's all about me, myself, and I. Tell me how good I am. Tell me that you like my food. Tell me that you like my clothes. Tell me that you like my plagiarism. Tell me all that stuff. Tell me everything that's about me. And it's not. Never been. It will never be about you. It will always be about the one who hung himself on a tree. And you think, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Some of you right now, the Lord is... My God, the Lord is pulling on some of you all right now to get reconnected to your purpose. I want everybody to lift their hands. Praise God. This is restoration. Oh, it's getting ready. Shita yambo yoshite. Kiya ra da 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 shita. There's some of you right now, some of you right now that know you're not where you need to be with Jesus Christ. Right now. And you think that it's over. You're absolutely wrong. Hear me in the Holy Ghost. He hung himself on an old rugged cross, bore your iniquity and shame. Do you think he would let you get away from your purpose that easily? Do you think that he would let you? He is chasing you down. The Bible says that his goodness brings you to repentance. You're not even capable of repenting on your own. Right now, God is calling you to abandon self, calling you to abandon your own ways, calling you to abandon selfishness, calling you. He's calling you. Somebody say, I'm coming, I'm coming. Come on, tell him, I'm coming, Jesus. I get it. It's not about me, but it's all about you. Okay. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I want our musicians to come, and everybody, musicians, vocalists, because I'm going to be about 5 to 7 more minutes. I didn't even get a chance to get into the text. You look at this story. David comes, and he's hiding out and kind of aligning himself with the Philistines' enemy. And see, what happens is we oftentimes can become complacent because he had grown this army. And so now people kind of had a reputation like, better not fool with David and his 600. They'll come and take you out. Well, David goes to fight, and they're like, look, man, we can't fight. We can't let David fight. Do you know what he did? No. He might turn on us and take us out. That's what they said. And so they send them back, and David and his men come back, and they look, walking down this long, dusty road. Can you imagine them seeing the smoke? Everything was burned. And when they don't hear anybody crying or moaning over lives that were lost, they can only think one of two things. They've either killed everything that we have that's dear to us, or they've abducted them. David and his men show up, and they wept so hard, there was nothing left in them. Whew. Whew. Some of you right now, some of you have lost some things. You've wept so hard. There has been nothing left within you. But can I tell you tonight, God is going to restore. Yeah. Restoration is fixing to happen because David got to a point and got, in particular, let me tell you what I feel. In particular, I don't want you to miss this. When the Lord gave me this a couple of weeks ago, he told me these things are going to be restored. Pastors, women of God, you might as well get ready because there are going to be backsliders that are going to be coming back like never before. You ought to be a whole lot more excited than that. You ought to be thankful. Don't you dare when that backslider comes back, don't you dare look at them like you Don't you be condescending. Don't you be like that older brother in the prodigal son story. Don't you be critical. You better get like that dad and run to them and say, it is my brother, it is my sister who is now home. You better cover them with grace and cover them with mercy. You better rejoice. Love. Love should always make the road out difficult, but it should make the way back really easy. So you get fixing it. You get ready to love on these backsliders. Second thing I feel, and I know this is a young person's conference, but the Lord spoke so clearly to me. There's some married couples. Mama, you're absolutely devastated, heartbroken, because you've had dreams. You've shared dreams with your spouse. Oh, God. They've walked away. But I'm telling you, God's fixing to restore in Jesus' name. I'm so glad about it. I could run all over this place. Let me tell you what we're about to do. I want everybody to stand. Here's what we're going to do. I want you just to take a moment, because David was so beat down, these men were ready to kill him. And you could understand why. But you know what he had to do? He said, let me turn my back to all that nonsense. Bring me the ephod. God. So he began to worship. He began to take his attention off of the naysayers and the critical people. And let me just say this, by the way. Your brother or your sister is not your enemy. We don't have any time for infighting and fighting and bickering and all that nonsense. We have an enemy, and it's not each other. It's the adversary. That's part of the problem. The church don't know their purpose, but he does, to kill, steal, and destroy. But we're called to a ministry of reconciliation. Restore one another in meekness. It says, you who are spiritual, restore one another. So David encourages himself and then says, you know what? Okay, Jesus, I want my stuff back. I want my peace back. I want my marriage back. I want my purity. This is the next thing the Lord spoke to me. This is the third thing, purity. There's some young people in this house, young adults, grown folk that have lost that purity. I'm not just talking about in a physical sense. I'm talking about what you've exposed yourself to. You've lost that purity. You've lost it. But you know what? You're fixing to get it back. Why? Because the blood of Jesus, when he washes you and cleanses you, I want you to know you'll be white as snow. So here we go. You know what? I want every hand lifted. And I want you just to begin to worship God. I want you to begin to encourage yourself. And this thing is fixing to blow up, because we're fixing to run after and get every single solitary thing that belongs to us. Some of you all have been battling depression. Some of you all have been contemplating things that are not just outside of your character, but it's so incredibly detrimental to your body. You are no longer going to entertain those things, honey. I'm telling you, you're fixing to get back every single thing that the devil stole. Go ahead and encourage yourself. Come on, because when we get ready to pursue, surely we're going to recover all. Go ahead and encourage yourself. Believe it. It is true. It's not too good to be true. It is true. You will operate in that ministry. You will operate in that calling. You will teach those Bible studies. You will pray your mama or your daddy through. Your husband will come back home. Your marriage will survive. Your family will love God. It is true. It will happen. You will get your joy back. Oh, God. Come on, that's it. Come on. Come on. Come on and leave that complacency. I got sidetracked, but that's what Ziklag represented, a place of complacency. Come on and leave that complacency. Come on and encourage yourself. Come on and do it. It's coming. Hey. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. Everything, I give it all. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Encourage yourself. Come on, encourage yourself. Because you about to pick up a weapon, honey. You about to pick up a weapon and get ready to go to war that's going to break the bow of the enemy. Come on, encourage yourself. Come on, you can't quit right now. Now you can't give up. Come on, be a soldier and endure hardship. Wipe the tears from your eyes. Put some bass in your spirit and say, I want my stuff back. Come on, that's it. Pursue him with your praise. Pursue him with your adoration. Pursue him with your worship. Don't withhold anything. Now is the time. Now is the season. This is your purpose. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, it's happening. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Okay. Some of you are getting it back. You're getting your strength back. Come on, I can feel it. I can see it. Some of you, literally, your disposition is changing. Some of you are getting ready to pursue. We fixing to go after Abigail. You know what Abigail means? It means joy. Joy. You better get your joy back, honey, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on and get it back. Come on and get it back. You've got a reason to shout. You've got a reason to praise. You've got a reason to lift up the name that's above every. The name that's above every name. Come on and get it back. Your sanity. Your purity, your joy, your peace, your understanding, your family. Come on and get it back. Come on and fight for it. Come on and fight for it. Come on and fight for it. Do we have anybody that knows how to fight with a praise? Do we have anybody that knows how to fight with a shout? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down, to the pulling down of strongholds. Come on and get your stuff back with a hallelujah. Get your stuff back with a praise. Come on, that's it. Get it. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us. Help us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, God, help us, Holy Ghost. Hear me. We're about to shout with a voice of triumph. This is important because what we're about to transition to in a moment is an outpouring of His Spirit. Restoration is getting ready to happen. We're going to have backsliders pray through. We're going to have people get